Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tefillin, Perek Gimel. We saw in Perek Aleph that there are 10 conditions for Tefillin to be Ksherim, all of which are based on an oral tradition, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. If even one of these 10 is not met, the Tefillin are Psulim, invalid. Prakam Aleph and Bet were devoted to the first two of these, which relate to the writing of the text on Klaf. This perek is devoted to the remaining 8 conditions. The Rambam lists them in the first halacha, and then elaborates on the procedure for making tefillin, such that all the conditions are met. Halacha Aleph. Shmoneh halachot yesh b'maaseh ha'tefillin, kulan l'moshe misinai, lefichach kulan ma'akvot, v'im shina b'achat mehen pasal, ve'elu hein shiyu merubaot, v'chein tefiratan b'ribua, v'alachsonan b'ribua, ad shiyeh lehem arba zaviot shavot. Veshiyeh be'or shel rosh tzurat shin miyamin umismol. Veshiyichroch haparshiot b'matlit. Veshiyichroch otan b'se'ar al hamatlit, v'achar kach machnisan b'vatehen. Veshiyu tofrin otan b'gidin. Veshiosin lahen maberet me'or hachipui shetikanes b'harutzua, ad shetehi overet v'holechet b'toch tovar shela. Veshiyu harutzuot shechorot. Veshiyeh kesher shelahen kesher yadua k'tzurat dal. The 8 necessary properties of tefillin are the following. We'll explain some here and say more about others as we go through the procedure for making tefillin. Number 1. The boxes must be square, that is, length and width equal. Our general custom is for each box to be a cube, with height equal to length and width. But the Rambam says in Halacha Bet that this isn't necessary, and the height can be smaller or larger than the other two dimensions. The tefillin actually need to contain 3 squares: the box itself, in which the parshiot are contained, the square base called the titura, which is larger than the box containing the parshiot, and finally the stitches, which seal the titura, form a square. More about the stitches in property 5. Number 2. The tefillin shel rosh must have the letter shin on the right and left sides of the box. We'll come back to these two shins later. Number 3. Each klaf inserted into either box of tefillin must be wrapped in a small piece of fabric. Before being wrapped, it is rolled up from the end to the beginning, as the Rambam clarifies in Halacha Zayin. Number 4. The klaf wrapped in fabric must then be tied with a hair before being inserted into the box. In Halacha Chet, the Rambam clarifies that this hair must come from a kosher animal, and the custom is to take one from the tail of a calf. Number 5. Both boxes of tefillin must be stitched closed with a gid, that is, a sinew or tendon. In Halacha Tet, this is explained to refer again to a gid which comes from a kosher animal. The way the stitches form a square, the Rambam explains in Halacha Yud, is by making 3 stitches along each side of the square base of the tefillin, the titura, for a total of 12 stitches. He adds there that the stitching must be double, so that the stitches themselves are visible both on the top of the titura and on the bottom. Number 6. Attached to the titura, there must be a passageway open on both ends, called the ma'avarta, through which the strap of the tefillin is placed and can move freely. Number 7. The ritzuot, straps of the tefillin, must be black. In Halach Yodalid, the Rambam explains that this refers to the outer side of the ritzuot. The inner side can be any color, as can the boxes, but he says that these should be the same color. The custom now is to color the boxes black. Some poskim consider this too to be required halacha Moshe Misinai, but the Rambam disagrees, but not to color the inner sides of the ritzuot black. In recent years, some have adopted the practice of blackening the inner side of the ritzuot as well. Note that because the outer side of the ritzuot must be black based on halacha Moshe Misinai, this coloring should be done lishma. One can purchase ink or a black marker to use for this purpose whenever the ritzuot lose their black color, and right before using it, he should say out loud, L'shem Kedusha Tefillin, to make it lishma. Finally, number 8, the kesher, the knot in the back of the shel rosh, must be, the Rambam says, a known knot in the shape of the letter Dalet. We'll come back to this later in the perek. Starting in Halacha Bet, the Rambam explains how tefillin are made. For the shel rosh, one begins with a square piece of wood with 4 wooden prongs sticking out of it. There's a diagram in the text of the Rambam. Then he takes a piece of leather, which must come from the hide of a kosher animal, like the parchment of tefillin and other stam, as we saw in Perek Aleph. The leather is dampened so that it's flexible, and then is wrapped over the piece of wood, with the leather folded into each of the 3 spaces between the 4 wooden prongs. This creates 4 compartments in the box which this leather will become once it dries and is taken off the wooden mold. In Halacha Yoda Aleph, the Rambam adds that the leather folded between the prongs to make the compartments must go all the way down to the base of the wood, so that the four compartments of the Tefillin Shel Rosh are completely walled off from one another and attached only at the base. If you look at a typical Tefillin Shel Rosh, the reason you won't see four distinct compartments from the outside is because they are pressed together after being made, and then painted black. Grooves etched on the outside of the Tefillin Shel Rosh indicate where the borders between the compartments are located underneath the black paint. While the leather of the Tefillin Shel Rosh is still moist, the parts on the right side and on the left side of the box are folded outward to form the letter Shin, as the Rambam describes at the end of Halacha Bet. Umechamshino tov v'hura tov mikan u'mikan ad she'osin min ha'or d'mut shin she'esh la shlosha rashim mimin ha'maniach tefillin u'd'mut shin she'esh la arba'a rashim mismol ha'maniach. On the right side of the box, relative to the person wearing it, there needs to be a shin with three arms, and on the left side, a shin with four arms. We'll see soon that the shin represents the first letter of the name of Hashem, Shakai, spelled Shin Dalid Yud. But why are there two, and why does one have four arms? The letter shin, as it is written in a Sefer Torah or anywhere else, has only three arms. The Beit Yosef on the tour quotes an explanation from the Shimusha Rabba, a short work on Hilchot Tefillin from the period of the Gaonim. Torah can be written in two ways. When ink is put to parchment, the letter stands out above the parchment, and so the shin has three arms. But when a letter is engraved, as the text of the Aseret HaDibrot was engraved on the Luchot, then what appears on the surface is not the letter itself, but an outline of the letter. An engraved shin has four arms on the surface, and in the spaces between them are located the three arms of the engraved letter. So the two versions of the letter shin on both sides of the Shel Rosh correspond to two kinds of writing, that of the Sefer Torah and that of the Luchot. Halacha Gimel completes the procedure for making the box of the Shel Rosh, and Halacha Dalet moves on to the Shel Yad. In this case, the mold is a complete wooden box with no prongs, as the Tefillin Shel Yad consists of a single compartment. After the parshiot are wrapped in fabric, tied with an animal hair, and put inside the boxes, one klaf in each of the four compartments of the Shel Rosh, and all four parshiot written on one klaf in the Shel Yad, another piece of leather is added to cover the openings for the parshiot, and this becomes the base of the tefillin, consisting of the titura and the ma'abarta that we described earlier. The next two halachot discuss the order of the parshiot in each box of tefillin. Halacha hei. Ketzad sidura parshiot. Bitfila shel rosh machnis parasha achrona, shivayayim shamoa, babayit shu al yamin hamaniach, ushma smuchala. Vahaya ki viacha bevayit shlishi smucha lishma, vekadesh li bevayit revi'i, shehu lismol hamaniach tefillin, kidei shiha korei shepanav keneged pnei hamaniach, korei ala seder kigon ze. And here there's a diagram of what these parshiot look like. We'll describe it in a moment. Vimichlif sidur ze psulot. Tfila shel yad, kotvan bar ba'adapin, be'or echad aroch, kesefer Torah. Al siduran batorah, kigon ze. Another diagram in the text of the Rambam. Vim ketavan al arba'a orot v'nichan bevayit echad, yatsa ve'eino tzarich ledabkan. The order of the parshiot, according to the Rambam, is the order in which they appear in the Torah. Kadesh, then Vayakiv Yecha, from Parshat Bo, in that order, followed by Shema and Vahayim Shamoah. In the Shel Yad, these are written on one sheet of parchment in sequential order, as one typically writes in Hebrew from right to left, each parsha in its own column. The parshiot of the Shel Rosh need to be written on different parchments, as each is placed in its own compartment. But these parshiot are placed in the four compartments in reverse order, from left to right. Why is that? The Gemara in Menachot says, HaKorei Korei Kisidran. The person opposite the one wearing the tefillin Shel Rosh and looking at him should see the parshiot, if he could see inside the box of the Shel Rosh, in the order they appear in the Torah. So he sees them in order from right to left, meaning that from the perspective of the wearer, the parshiot are in order from left to right. The order appearing in the Rambam is also the opinion of Rashi, but Rabbeinu Tam had a different opinion. He switched the parshiot of Shema and Vahayim Shamoa, so that Shema is at the right end from the perspective of the one wearing the tefillin. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the statement in the Gemara that HaKorei Korei Kesidran refers only to the parshiot of Kadesh and Vahayakiv Yecha. These two parshiot appear in order from the perspective of the reader standing opposite, as we explained. But Shema and Vahayim Shamoa are in order from the perspective of the wearer. Incidentally, there are two other more minor opinions about the order of the Parshat and Tefillin. The Ravid here quotes from Rav Haigon, an order which is exactly the mirror image of Shitat Rabbeinu Tam, and the Shimusha Rabbah we mentioned earlier thinks the correct order is the mirror image of Shitat Rashi. The debate between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam in how to read the Gemara seems to be rooted in two very old traditions, and archaeological excavations have turned up both types of tefillin from the period of Bayit Sheni. As we read at the end of Halacha Hey, the tefillin are psulim if the parshiot appear in the wrong order, and so the only way to be yotze, according to both opinions, is to wear two pairs of tefillin. The Tur quotes from his father, the Rush, that this is exactly what one should do, wear two pairs at the same time, one tefillin shel Rashi, one tefillin shel Rabbeinu Tam, having in mind that whichever pair isn't the halachically correct one is not being worn for the purpose of the mitzvah, in order to avoid the problem of Baal Tosif. But because most Rishonim, like the Rambam, agree with Rashi, the Beit Yosef on the Tur concludes that this is the accepted halacha, and there is no need to be concerned about the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. The Gruff felt this way as well, and wrote that if we were to be machmir, to wear a second pair of tefillin Rabbeinu Tam, we should equally be machmir about several other debates about how tefillin must be made, and with all possible combinations considered, we would need to wear dozens of pairs of tefillin every day. Nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch notes that someone who is known to be especially pious may wear tefillin Rabbeinu Tam in addition to the widely accepted Rashi tefillin. There is a Kabbalistic tradition which supports wearing both pairs, and so many Hasidim, including Chabad, have the custom to do this. In practice, the vast majority wear only Rashi tefillin, and even most of the Haredi world, which is known to be machmir in other areas, is not machmir for this, based on the conclusion of the Gra. Among those who wear tefillin of both types, the majority wear Rashi tefillin for most of davening, then take them off and put on tefillin Rabbeinu Tam for the end, including repeating Kriyat Shema for a reason we'll see in the next perek. But some follow the suggestion of the Tur to wear both together. We end this discussion of the order of the Parshiot with an observation which we'll come back to in Perek Hay. The order of the Parshiot only seems to be critical for the Rambam in the Tefillin Shel Rosh. At the end of Halacha Hey, he says that changing this order invalidates the Tefillin, but he does not say this about the order in the Tefillin Shel Yad in Halacha Vav. This may be because of the din at the end of Halacha Vav. If the four Parshiot in the Shel Yad are written on four different pieces of parchment, the Tefillin are valid. In this case, there is no order at all among the Parshiot, and this may imply that even if they are written on one parchment in any order, the Tefillin are kosher. We've already mentioned most of the details in Halachot Zayin through Yud Aleph about how the boxes are completed and stitched together, so we'll skip to Halach Yud Bet, where the Rambam begins to discuss the straps, the Ritzuot. The Chitzad Osin HaRitzuot, Lokhin Ritzua Shel Or, Rochba Ka'orech HaSeora, Vim Haita Rechava Mizeh HaShiur K'shera, V'orech Ritzua Shel Rosh, Kidei Shetakif Et HaRosh, V'yikshor Mena HaKesher, V'timatach Shtei HaRitzuot Mikan U'mikan, Ad Shiagiu LaTibor, O L'mala Menu Ma'at. V'orech Ritzua Shel Yad, Kidei Shetakif Et HaZroa, V'yikshor Mena HaKesher, V'timatach Ritzua Achat Ad Etzba Emtzait, V'yikroch Mena Al Etzbao Shalosh Prichot, V'yikshor, V'im Hayu HaRitzuot Arukot Yater Al Shirin Ha'elu K'sherot. The width of the Ritzuot need only be about half the width of the thumb, though they may be wider, and most indeed are. The strap of the Shel Rosh needs to be long enough to tie the special knot in the back, details of that shortly in Halacha Yud Gimel, and the ends should extend down to the area of the waist. The strap of the Shel Yad, after being tightened around the arm, as we'll discuss in the next perek, must be wrapped three times around a finger, and then tied so it does not become unwrapped. The Rambam says nothing about wrapping the strap of the Shel Yad around the lower part of the arm, but the Shulchan Aruch brings the familiar custom to wrap it seven times between the elbow and the wrist. The custom is also to say the psukim of Ve'erastich from Sefer Hosea while wrapping the strap around the middle finger of the hand. Halacha Yud Gimel. Umachnis ritzua shel rosh betovar shela, umakif kimidat rosho, v'kosher kesher meruba kimin dal, v'kesher zet zarich kol talmid chachamim lelamdo, v'yevshar lehodia tzurato bichtav ela b'riyat ha'ayin, v'chein b'shel yad, kosher kesher kimin yud, v'tiyeh ha'ritzua shel yad ola v'yoredet betoch ha'kesher, kedei shi'archi v'katzer be'et shi'irtze likshor al yado. The strap of the shel rosh is tied in a knot which goes behind the head. The Rambam refers to this knot as a four-sided knot like a dalet, but the Shulchan Aruch mentions only that it should have the shape of a dalet, nothing about four sides. In practice, there are two customs regarding how to tie this knot, one which resembles a letter dalet, and the other which has the shape of a square, and can be thought of as a double dalet, two overlapping dalets rotated 180 degrees relative to each other. The strap of the shalyad needs to be tied adjacent to the box in a knot resembling the letter yud. This knot ends in a loop through which the other side of the strap is inserted, producing the slip knot which is tightened when the tefillin are worn. The Shulchan Aruch adds that the knot itself in the shape of the yud must touch the box of the shalyad while the tefillin are worn, and many have the custom to tie it to the box to hold the knot and box together. Note that the Rambam has mentioned in this perek three letters of the alphabet in the context of tefillin, the shin on each side of the shalrosh, and now the two knots in the shapes of the letters dalet and yud. These letters spell out the divine name Shakai, a fact not mentioned by the Rambam, but noted by many other Rishonim and by the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama adds that these should be made by the sofer in the order spelling out the name. First, the shin on each side of the shalrosh, then the knot of the shalrosh in the form of a dalet, and finally the knot of the shalyad in the form of a yud. We'll see another nafkamina shortly of the fact that these letters spell out a name of Hashem. We already discussed halacha yudalet about the color of the straps and of the boxes. In halacha tetvav, the Rambam adds that the leather of the ritzuot, like that of the parchment on which the tefillin is written, as we saw in Perek Aleph, must come from a kosher animal and must have undergone ibud lishma. However, the leather used for the boxes, while it must come from a kosher animal, as we said earlier, does not need ibud at all, because animal hide is thicker and more sturdy if it doesn't undergo this process. Halacha tetzayim. Ein osin hatfilin ela Yisrael, sha'asiatan kechivatan, mipnei hashin sha'osin ba'or, kemo shamarnu. Lefichach im chipan goy ot faran, psulot, v'hu adin l'chol ha'pasul l'chotvan, sh'lo ya'aseh otan. We saw in Perek Aleph that only a Jew may write the parashiot of tefillin, because only someone commanded to wear tefillin is halachically capable of writing kosher parashiot. Here the Rambam adds that so too only a Jew may make the tefillin, because of the shin on each side of the shalrosh, which is considered a form of writing. And because of this, the rest of the boxes as well, including the stitching, can only be done by a Jew. It's interesting that the Rambam refers only to the shin, and not to the dalid and the yud in the knots of the shalrosh and shalyad, respectively. Both the Griz in his Chidushim here, and his nephew of Salvechik in his Shiurim on Stam, conclude from this that the appearances of the three letters of the name Shakai in tefillin are not equivalent. The shin is considered part of the text of the tefillin, even though it appears on the side of the box rather than on the cloth, and therefore can only be produced by someone halachically acceptable for writing tefillin. The dalid and yud, on the other hand, are merely forms of different knots, and do not have the status of written text. Halacha Yud Zayin. Tfila shel rosh ein osinota shel yad, v'shel yad osinota shel rosh, lefi she'ein moridin miktusha chamura liktusha kala, v'chein rutzua shel tfila shel rosh ein osinota litfila shel yad. B'med dvarim amurim, b'shel levashan. Aval tfilin shel rosh shelo levasha adam me'olam, im ratza lachzira liyad mutar, v'cheitzad hu oseh, tole aleha or ad sheteyaseh achat v'koshra al yado. The tefillin shel rosh is considered to have greater kedusha than the tefillin shel yad. Rashi on the Gemara in Menachot gives two reasons for this. One relates to a difference between the shel rosh and the shel yad that we'll discuss in the next perek, and the other is that the shel rosh has most of the letters of the name Shakai, the first two of the three letters of this name. Hence, based on the principle of Malin Bakodesh Vein Moridin, a tefillin shel rosh may not be refashioned into a tefillin shel yad, nor can even a strap from a tefillin shel rosh be removed and used with a tefillin shel yad, but a change in the reverse direction is permitted. This is only true if the tefillin were worn at least once. If not, then even a tefillin shel rosh can be used as a tefillin shel yad. In this scenario, the fact that the parshiot are placed in separate compartments is not a problem, as a tefillin shel yad is kosher even if the four parshiot are written on four separate pieces of parchment, as we saw in Halacha Vav, and we may simply ignore the partitions between the compartments of this former tefillin shel rosh. The Rambam adds that in this case we cover the box with a single piece of leather so that it looks from the outside like it has only one compartment. In the reverse scenario of using a tefillin shel yad as a tefillin shel rosh, which is always permitted, the Kesef Mishnah points out that it would be necessary to create partitions inside the box so that it has four compartments containing the four parshiot in the proper order. The last two halachot of the perek deal with cases in which the stitches or the straps of the tefillin become torn. Many Rishonim understand the Gemara on which the Rambam based halach Yudchet as referring not to torn stitches, but to tefillin boxes which have become torn open. As these are uncommon cases in the age of tefillin produced in factories with the aid of machines, we will skip the details. Anyone who finds that the stitches of his tefillin are torn, or that any part of a strap is torn, is referred to a reliable sofer to determine if the tefillin can be fixed or if they need to be replaced. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishneh Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.